The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
This is what God gave us for this year, is that He's bringing us to our prepared place. You remember that? You've entered our prepared place. What it means is that many places the Lord will bring you to this year, He must have walked inside before you got in there. God will get offices that men have been prepared for you. Jobs have been prepared for you. It will seem as though, no, it will not seem as though, it will be the case that situations have been arranged before you came, that there will be coincidences that work in your favor. God is bringing us to prepared places. Prepared places. Prepared places. Prepared relationships. Prepared relationships. Prepared jobs. Prepared appointments. Prepared orchestrations. Prepared events. Events have been prepared before you came. In the name of Jesus. It will seem as though, and that will be the case, that they've been waiting for you to come. You will hear statements like, where have you been all the while? Then I tell you, God has gone ahead of you to prepare those places. You know one thing? God is the God of prepared places. Yeah. Before He brought in Adam and Eve, He already prepared the garden. So Adam came into a prepared garden. No, He didn't come into a garden that was still being set up. He came into a prepared garden. Hear me as I speak unto you from the Lord. 2026 is a prepared year already. It's a prepared year already. God is not about to set things in place. He has planned it before you came. And you walk into offices that things have been waiting for you. Contracts have been waiting for you. Opportunities have been waiting for you. You will meet sinners on the way. They would have been waiting for you to come. I'm telling you, by God, this year is prepared already. Everything is ready. But we are colliding with God's goodness. We are colliding with God's goodness. We are colliding with open doors. We are colliding with good things. The year is prepared for us. Can you shout a loud amen, somebody? It's prepared for us already. Lift your hands and just thank Him. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. As I look in your word and I see, I become as I see. Oh. How is it, man? It's already done, sing.
It's already done.
Everything is ready.
Everything is ready for me.
Come on.
All that I need.
Aye.
Everything for life is ready for me.
Just one more time. Say it's already done, sing.
It's already done.
Everything is ready.
Everything is ready for me.
Come on.
All that I need, everything for life is ready for me.
Just one more time. Say it's already done, sing.
It's already done.
Everything is ready.
Everything. For me, all that I need, everything for life is ready for me.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is ready for me. All that I need. Everything for life is ready for me.
Hallelujah. God has prepared those doors. You wouldn't get to those doors and they would say, give us a minute to open them. They would have opened before you came. They will be open before you arrive. You know, look at practically, they would have concluded the meeting before you came. And in the meeting before you arrived, they decided that you are the best fit for the job. They may not call your name, but by the time they describe everything they want, the kind of person, the kind of conclusion, it will be you. And then it will be you. No, okay, the meetings like this, take everything we say seriously. One of the testimonies that I believe they're going to be reading that tomorrow that came into the mail today was someone testifying of race of fact, and the word that came in that race of fact clearly was that there is someone that applied for something, if you remember that, and the application has closed. And I said by God's Spirit that by God's Spirit, they will open it again and you'll get it. That same week, they opened an application that has closed again for the person, and the person got it. I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about prepared places. God's word will happen for you. I said, God's word will happen for you. The doors are open. You know, God is not disorganized. He wouldn't bring you to a place that has not prepared for you. That's one thing. That's one of the things you must prioritize this year, is walking in God's perfect will. Because when you get into His will, He has prepared the place for you to arrive. Are you getting the point now? He has prepared the place. You will collide with God's goodness this year. In the name of Jesus. Shout aloud, amen, this evening. Tonight, let's see how far God can take us. Have your seat. I don't know what is going to happen tonight. And this is let me I think the Lord wants me to talk about this. I thought I was going to, some of us are programmed already that in last night of meetings like this, we're going to have some impartations. Well, maybe that could happen this evening, right? But one of the things that the Lord began to speak to me about late last year while I was waiting upon Him, you know, and all of that, is to pay attention to not stereotyping Christian meetings. Are you following me? No stereotyping Christian meetings. So I could just preach to you tonight and just go. And what God wants would have happened. I could come up and not preach and sing throughout and we go. And God's word would, what God wants would have happened. But one thing is certain. If you came in here hungry tonight, you will go home fed. That's one thing. The anointing responds to hunger. Response to hunger. So if you came in here hungry, you will go home fed. Are you sure about that? Should be. So I'll be teaching on seed time and harvest. Has it blessed you? Seed time and harvest. We've covered a lot of grounds. And I will not even attempt to do a recap on everything we've done. If not, you're going, the whole recap will be like two series, two parts of the message. So this morning was really intense, right? Hallelujah. I want to re-emphasize again, this very teaching, this is a series I would like you to be on. Now, especially some of you that followed this meeting online at some point, and you missed out on some parts of the meeting, get the teaching and stay on it through and through. But I realized some people went to work on this like Friday morning. For instance, that Friday morning teaching, yeah, it's a major classic. So get those things and stay on them after this meeting. And I'm going to ask the media team to ensure that as quick as possible, we get this message on the website. If possible, tomorrow, at most Monday, it should be there. And let me tell you why that should happen. I'm talking to the media team now. Why you should make sure that happens is because there are things that people need to hear again just immediately. You don't have to wait for long. Have you heard something, listen to a teaching, and you feel you need to hear it the next day? And teachings like that. Sometimes when you wait for you wait for it on the side for 2 weeks and 3 weeks and there are some things you have to back it, follow it up with the right momentum. So be nice, you must make sure that happens. But while they are at it, you make sure that you get on YouTube and watch, listen to it.
Why I'm emphasizing they must get this on Saturdays, because I noticed the YouTube has some interruptions. So you make sure, but once it comes on site, make sure you get them and you listen to those teachings. Listen to them. Life changing. We're presenting principles that stand forever. If you understand this thing I'm sharing with you, you realize that everything on earth happens by seed and harvest. Sowing and reaping. We've looked at the word of God as seed. We've looked at giving as seed. And we've seen how that giving can be seed and all it can do for us. Right here in the morning, I was sharing on the ministry of giving. That particular teaching, you have to kind of pay attention to it. Because some people realize, some people, it was a wake-up call for many people to realize the burdens that God has put in your spirit. All that I said in the morning that I want to repeat again is the fact that if giving is a ministry God has given you, He will demand account of it from you. Yes. It's one of the things that you'll be judged for at the moment of Christ. Because at the moment of Christ, God is going to be judging you for every grace, ability that He gave you and how you've used it. Are you what I'm saying? Yes. So if He has graced you with that, He will demand judgment. As He will demand account, rather. I get the point. For instance, God has called me to be a pastor. When I meet Him, He will have to know how did I do with the pastor? What did I do with all the abilities He put in me? Was I just playing around with them? Or was I using them well? See, if God has given you this grace to be a giver, of course, we are all givers, but you heard me in the morning, right? If God has given you that grace, just know that He will demand that account from you. He will demand it from you. I get to the point. He will demand it from you. And let me tell you, to be on the safer side, as a believer, you have to carry this consciousness of the fact that whenever I receive cash from my business or whatever, God has intentions of meeting people's needs through that money I received. So a believer must not see every money that enters his hands as his own. Now, that is simply called financial stewardship. You know who a steward is? A steward is someone that manages something on behalf of another. You must begin to see yourself as a steward in the area of money. So when I receive 10,000, it means this is God's money that He has put in my account. So I have to ask Him what I will do with it. And when I mean ask Him, I'm not saying going to prayer and say, Father, show me, should I buy shoe or should I buy clothes? That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying that when you get it, you pay attention. If there's any special thing God says you do with Him, He says, give this, give that, you obey it. Because you have to realize, God is not against you enjoying your life. So it's not like you buy shoe, God will say, so you are buying shoe, right? It's not against that. Are you following me? But you have to pay attention to the promptings of your spirit, because sometimes He might just tell you, this, all of this is not yours. Are you following me? All of this is not yours. That's one of the things you must conquer in this generation. If you're going to be someone that will do well with God in this area of giving, is greed. I feel you must conquer greed. You know, in the morning I mentioned selfishness. But you know, greed is rooted in selfishness. Are you following me? So you must deal with it. So we'll dealt with that in the morning. How money is a seed, right, that can be used. And I closed by letting you know that, you see, money and everything money can do ends here on earth. If you buy a car, you will only drive that car on earth. If you buy a house, you will only live in that house here on earth. But I say there is something you can do with money that will go beyond this world. And that is when you use it for the purpose of kingdom advancement. We saw that from 1 Timothy 6. So when you use your money for both kingdom advancements, what will happen is when you meet Jesus, He will not reward you for what you did with money. That's how money can count in eternity. Ordinarily, money, everything about money ends here. Are you following me, friends? Our money can count strongly in eternity. We're going to begin to reward you for how well you used the money He gave you. How you used that money to do this, how you used it to do that. He can reward you for that. I stay here. So I always tell people, give the money in your bank account eternal relevance by using it well. Because once you eat alcohol, alcohol has no eternal relevance. Do you understand the point? Once you buy a car has no eternal relevance. It just everything about it just ends here. In fact, most times the things you buy, they will end before you even finish your life here. If you buy in less than 2 years or three, depending on the kind of shoe you bought, you need another one. There are some you buy in 3 months, you need another one. Depending on how you match the shoe. You understand the point? So, all those things are perishing. But there are things you could do with your money that will now outlive. That's another big reward that comes from giving. The fact that God will reward you for how well you use the money. Are you following me? So this evening, we're still talking about sowing and reaping. I mean, seed time and harvest. So let's see Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Are you ready for the word tonight? Galatians 6. And verse 7. Galatians 6 verse 7. Now hear what it says. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So he establishes the principle of sowing and reaping. That whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. But then he goes further in verse 8 to talk about another kind of seed that people sow. He said, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, it's important, you know, because I tell you, you can drag this to the extreme. You can't use this verse down to teach sowing, like financial giving. It's talking about something else. Sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit. So, Paul says, whatever you sow, you will reap. Then he picks two major kinds of sowing people do. Some sow to the flesh, some sow to the Spirit. So Paul uses the flesh and the Spirit, compares the flesh and the Spirit to farmlands. So he's trying to say, everybody has two farmlands. One of the farmland is called flesh. The other farmland is called Spirit. And Paul is saying, any of the farmlands that you keep cultivating, it's not rocket science to know that after, when harvest time comes, you will definitely go to where you've been cultivating. If the other one has not been cultivated, it's been left to grow fallow, then nothing is going to, you're going to harvest nothing. Look at that. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So the flesh has its own harvest. Paul calls it corruption. I'm going to look at that very shortly. Now, the Spirit has its own harvest. Paul calls it life everlasting. Are you following me? So, and of course, by the time you get into context here, you'll find out he's talking about lifestyle and all of that. So that is something you'll be doing, and you'll be sowing to the flesh. That's another thing you'll be doing. You'll be sowing to the Spirit. Paul says, whichever one you do, just know that harvest time is going to come. So, by the time you get to verse 9, verse 9 now said, quickly, he said, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For what? In due season, of course, talking about well-doing here, he'll be referring to sowing to the Spirit. I feel what I'm saying. But if you give sowing to the flesh, there will still be a due season for reaping the seed sown to the flesh. So you must perceive, you must understand your life, right, as having two farmlands. There is a farmland called Spirit. There is a farmland called flesh. And you're either sowing to one or the other. Are you following me, friends? Now, what he says, you will reap corruption. That word corruption is from the Greek word, I think that's Thora. P-H-C-H-O-R-A. It means decay. It means something subject to dying. It means eventually I will decay and come to nothing. It means emptiness. It means nothingness. So he's saying if you keep sowing to the flesh, you will reap decay. And already in Galatians 5 verse 19, he already mentioned towards the works of the flesh. Come on. What are the works of the flesh? Do you remember? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. These are the things you will reap if you keep investing in the flesh. Then in verse 22, he mentions the fruit of the Spirit. Which are the things you will reap if you keep investing in the Spirit. 2026 gives you an opportunity to farm on one farmland or the other. But one thing is certain, you will reap whatever you've been sowing. Now, this is not in a threatening way or in a bad way. People say, oh, you shall reap what you sow. You know, all those kind of things. I can see the point. But I'm just going to tell you that eventually life is about sowing and reaping. So, first of all, let's look at this. So, he mentions the flesh. That if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Then he goes to Galatians 5, or he had gone to Galatians 5 earlier, verse 19, and mentions towards the works of the flesh. So when he was talking to them in Galatians 6, and when he mentions corruption, he expects them to understand because he already had mentioned the works of the flesh. So he's not telling, if you keep investing and sowing to the flesh, the result, the fruit will be adultery, fornication. So if someone, for instance, become adulterous, it is because he has been sowing to the flesh. Adultery is now the harvest. Are you what I'm talking about here now? If someone becomes bitter, envious, and all of that, he has been sowing to the flesh. Look at this. He mentions, go back to Galatians 5:19. He mentions adultery. Follow this. He mentions adultery. Let's read together. Number one, verse 19. What's the first one? The works of the flesh. Adultery. Number two, fornication. What else? Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So that it's not only this. There are many things you can reap because you're going to have plentiful harvest if you sow to the flesh. What is the kind of harvest you don't want? He now said, and he said, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do so shall not enter the kingdom of God. Are you following me? So if you've been sowing to the flesh, watch this. You are born again. The flesh has been crucified. You know, the Bible is very clear on that. But he's saying if you keep sowing to the flesh, you will reap the same reward as those who the flesh is still working in them. You didn't get that. When you are born again, the old man has been crucified. The flesh has been crucified. Are you aware? Now, that's very clear. The Bible doesn't teach us to crucify the flesh. It tells us the flesh has been crucified. That's Romans chapter 6. You get the point? Yeah. Now, but he's saying that it's the works of the flesh. That if you begin to sow to the flesh, you will still be reaping the rewards. In other words, your life will still be looking like the life of those that have not crucified the flesh. So you see, your life will be looking like the life of unbelievers. Even though in reality, the flesh has been crucified. He said, why will he be like that? How can somebody be born again and he's still living in sin? How can somebody be born again and his life is still like this? Now, he has been sowing a particular seed. He has been saved. God has forgiven him. He has a new nature. But if he doesn't begin to sow to that new nature, are you following me, friend? He will not reap the fruit of that new nature. That's why there are believers, there are thieves. Now, I didn't say that believers that steal. You know, to steal and to be a thief are two different things. You know, to be caught in adultery and to be adulterous are two different things. All of them are wrong.
But why can't they have a believer who goes deep into adultery and becomes a lifestyle? Every now and then. Every now and then. And I will even begin to question, is this one even born again at all?
Are you following what I'm saying?
The secret is that it's an investment he has been making. And the investment has matured. So he must cash out. So the cash out, it's just the simple of agriculture. And you know how this thing happens. When you plant one seed, you harvest the fruit. How many of you have ever considered? I'm coming back to my yam cultivation. How do you cultivate yam? What size of yam? Do you put full yam in the earth? Do you? You cut a part of it and you put it in the earth. But what are you going to harvest? Full yam. So you just need to make one or two sowing into the flesh and harvest to show. So many of us have been sown to the flesh, watering the seed, protecting the seed, putting fertilizer, and then when harvest shows up, it's like this now became like this. I'm teaching you how. You've been making a certain investment. Are you still here, friends? You know, I try to classify all these particular works of the flesh into three. And in my note, I said, let me just read what I put in my notes. I said, the fruit you will reap by sowing to the flesh, in summary, is this. Number one, you'll be driven by pleasure. I'm talking about the works of the flesh. How did it start? Galatians 5:19. What's the first one? Adultery. Next one, fornication. Next one, uncleanness. Like all this, we see as much about that pleasure. You'll be pleasure driven. There are people that are pleasure driven. They don't use their head. Pleasure is a driver. So anything that will give them, they'll give them pleasure. That will pleasure their flesh. So Paul calls to the spirit of adultery, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Are you still here now? Pleasure. So under that, you can classify fornication, we can classify masturbation, we can classify homosexuality, we can classify, you know what I'm saying? All these pleasure-related things. So you see people just, you see, you know, you can't doubt that pleasure is driving many people. You see a girl or a guy, they can travel from here. No, we're talking about it when we're going home from church, jokingly though. But it's something that happens. People go from here to meet a man they don't know from Adam. And you wonder, they're not thinking about their life. Pleasure. A man can earn $100,000 salary and take a girl out for one night and buy fish, barbecue fish of $14,000. Buy exotic drink for the girl. And then all those things. Then pay for a hotel room. $100,000 salary earner. He spends over 40 or 50 in one night. He looks like he's mad. He is. Pleasure. And believers, if you are not careful, the flesh will take you to that place where you are pleasure driven. Everything is about how I feel. Let me enjoy it. He speaks of uncleanness. Because someone asked me, did the Bible mention this thing, that thing? Uncleanness is a big word. Give me like an NLT of that verse. He mentions sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. This is where you put things like pornography and all that. They are the results or the fruits you are reaping for having sown to the flesh. These are works of the flesh. I can also call them fruits of the flesh. Things that you reap in keeping the flesh. The second, why I classify the first one I mentioned, you'll be driven by pleasure. Then you will manifest anti-love behaviors. Anti-love, anti-love, whatever you put it. What are those things? Next verse. He mentions idolatry. He mentions witchcraft. He mentions, go back to King James. Come on. Come back later.
He mentions idolatry, he mentions witchcraft, he mentions hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition. So these are things that, so you find that you'll be behaving without, like you don't have the love of God. You see believers deep in envy, deep in unforgiveness. There are people who still have something against someone that has hurt them for like 3 years ago, and they're believers. So how did it happen? They've been sown to the flesh. Unforgiving spirit is a product of the flesh. And if you keep investing in the flesh, that's what you will reap. And many of us are in our harvest days already. This teaching will help you. Because you will learn how you can begin to uproot all those things you put in your farm. And eventually abandon that farm entirely. I will get this point. Abandon the farm. Because no matter how high you rise as a man of God, if you return to that farm and keep farming it, it's a simple principle. You know, principles, it's a respect of nobody. If a madman madly or mistakenly puts corn seed on the earth, it will germinate. The corn seed will not say, well, I'm not going to germinate, it's a madman that put me here. No. I get to the point. If a president puts the same seed to germinate, so even if you're a man of God and you begin to invest in the flesh, the result will come. One of the choices you have to make for yourself in 2026 is that this year you pay more attention to your spirit and not the flesh. So he mentions, go to maybe NLT now. He mentions idolatry, witchcraft, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger. You know me, I'm very hot tempered. You are not. You've been sowing to the flesh. The hot temper is just a result of an investment you've been making. And I'm going to show some of those investments today. I follow the point. Now, I'm very hot tempered. So I believe this way. I say, that's why before I even met Jesus, I've been hot tempered. We are saying the same thing. You have now met Jesus. How come you've met him and you're still hot tempered? It's because you met him and you didn't take time to cultivate the farmland that you should cultivate. You met him, you still kept investing in the other. I get to the point. Yes. Selfish ambition, dissension, division. All of these are things you reap from the flesh. So the flesh actually has nothing to offer than this. If a rich man sows to the flesh, this will happen. If a poor man sows to the flesh, this will happen. If a bishop sows to the flesh, this will happen. I feel what I'm saying. Once you are sowing to the flesh, harvest will come. And when it comes, this will be the result. So the first category is pleasure. That's where you even see people that you tell them, why are you dressing that way? It's what I like to do. That's pleasure. People that go to pleasure are driven by pleasure. Second category is this anti-love behavior. Hatred, envy, jealousy, wrath, outbursts of anger, quarreling, bitterness, unforgiving spirit. Let me even tell you this. I'm going to say this very clearly. If someone hurt you and you claim to have forgiven the person. Now, pay attention to this. Someone hurt you and you claim to have forgiven the person. But there are certain things, certain decisions you made when you were angry and you've not changed them. Possibly have not forgiven that person. I'm not talking about being stupid. I'm not talking about maybe somebody hurt you and you say, now from now I'll be more careful so this guy doesn't hurt me again. It's a different matter. But someone hurts you and you say, from now I will never talk to you again. And then you claim you're forgiving. But the person should still not talk to you. Let me be the first to tell you that I've not forgiven. Are you listening to me? And this one entered. This one entered. I'm going to say it again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If someone hurts you, and there was a decision you made, born out of hurt and pain and anger, and then after that you said you've forgiven the person, but you still not change your mind over what you said, brother or sister, you've not forgiven. You know, if someone hurts you, and you cut off the person from your finances because they hurt you, and you now forgive the person. Now, it's a different case that, well, I'm forgiving you, but I'll still not be giving you this money because I want you to learn one or two lessons. I'm no longer doing it out of pain. I'm doing it because I want to teach you. This is a different matter. Are you feeling what I'm saying now? But if the reason you are still standing where you are standing is because of what that person did to you, you have not forgiven the person. Now, let me tell you, let me prove that you have not forgiven the person. Every time you meet that person, you will remember what the person did. You know why you remember it? Because there's still a decision you are standing on based on what he did. I want to listen for it to digest. Are you okay now? You've really got to forgive people. Because unforgiveness is a fruit you reap from the flesh. If you keep sowing to the flesh, you will reap. So the first is pleasure. The second is the anti-love family. The third category of that, I use the term, and if you don't know what it means, I use the term escapism. Know what escapism means? I've been looking for another word to use. Escapism, let me check the dictionary. The dictionary said, is a tendency to seek distraction and relief from unpleasant reality, especially by seeking entertainment or engaging in fantasies. So how did the Bible put it? The Bible talks about, next verse, drunkenness. Go to NLT. Drunkenness. So that's where you put drunkenness, drug addiction, all of this. That, you know, drug addiction is escapism. Are you aware? You just want to get high and forget. Can a believer be addicted to drugs? Yes. If you sow to the flesh. Drunkenness. What did he mention there? You must read that one. What did he mention there? Wild parties. You know, we have a generation that's normalized, that thinks it's normal for a Christian to club. It's always saying clubbing once in a while, just go and have fun. Sir, that is the result of flesh. That's what I was showing mom. It was really very funny. This girl posted, it was really, really very funny. She posted, her status was long. Each of them, she posted them in a club. From one video to another video, in some of the videos, she would be spraying money on somebody's buttocks. Open buttocks. And she did that. After doing that, she just posted she had a good time. The next post that followed is, tomorrow is church. Join me to church. Not this church. If it is here, no, we'll not pursue you. I'm not that bad. But I was telling mom, that's the thing about churches. Let me tell you, churches must be graceful, but they must not condone. But I was telling mom, I'm almost sure if that person was in this church, the next Sunday service, 2-3 people have said, please, can we talk for a minute? You know, as they know, I'm not here to condemn you, sister, but I was checking your status. Are you okay? Is something wrong with you? There's nothing normal about all those kind of things. The Christianity we received, we didn't even go to birthday parties. Are you guys following what I'm saying? But now you are normalizing these things. It is because we've been sowing to the flesh. Give me another translation of this. Maybe I'm quite classic. I call it escapism. You are passing through a lot. You're using alcohol and what have you to cover it up. Let me say to you, if you are here as a believer, I'm not condemning you, but you've been drinking. It's time to stop. I've had to help many people here stop. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's time to stop. And I can give you 201 reasons why you must stop. Now, I'm a new creation teacher through and through. You know, Abby? And so if people even don't like me because I'm a great preacher, and I wear the badge with my full chest, but doesn't we condone rubbish? Why are you drinking?
What's the reason? You don't even know. You are just reaping the reward of what you've been planting. You sow into the flesh. Now, it looks normal. Do you know? The Bible said, take a little wine for your stomach. Do you have stomach problem? Or you want to have stomach problem so you can be drinking? Should I pray the reality of that verse upon you? So that I have stomach problem that will need little wine. You miss out all that verses. You know, for Paul to say take a little wine for your stomach, he was not, it tells you that he wasn't saying that if you drink, you're going to hell. That's what he's saying. If that was the case, he wouldn't have told Timothy that. But he still emphasized on little wine. And later in Ephesians 5, he said, be not drunk with wine when it's in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because if you're given to wine, it will be difficult to be given to the Spirit. I get the point. And I tell you why. Wine takes over your mind. Do you know what wine does to you? Is what the Holy Ghost does to you. You know when wine is working in your life, if alcohol is working in your life, one of the things you find yourself doing, even if you're not drunk, if you're just tipsy, you find yourself that you shout more than. Man, I'm gaggy that man, you will beat Chelsea. You see that raising of voice. He said, I'm not drunk. No. Ah, I know myself. But when I actually that coach, man, then you find yourself voicing things that are in your heart. It looks like you are hyper. Some others, they don't get hyper, they stay quiet. These are different kinds of madness. And they stay very quiet. I say, no, wine doesn't affect me. Once I take it, I just stay quiet and sleep. That's exactly what we're talking about. You know, the Holy Ghost has that kind of effect on people. The Holy Ghost comes upon you and you find yourself shouting, hey! It's the Holy Ghost. I know what I'm talking about. So Paul said, don't be drunk with wine. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. And you can be high on the Holy Ghost every time of the day. If you see us get high on the Holy Ghost, you might find yourself laughing. That's why when they came in on the day of Pentecost, what did they say? They said they were drunk. Because they were acting as though they were drunk. And when Peter stood up, Peter did not deny that they were drunk. Peter didn't say we are not drunk. Peter said these ones are not drunk as you suppose. So they are drunk, but not as you suppose. They are drunk, but not with the content you think. They are drunk of the Holy Ghost. And the good thing about it is that in the Holy Ghost, you can drink irresponsibly. We can drink and overdrink. We can get high irresponsibly. We can laugh and shout to the Holy Ghost. We can speak in tongues till we ain't consecrated. Glory! Hallelujah! We can drink irresponsibly. One bottle is not enough. We can take 5 and 10 and 7 and 20 until we are full and overflowing. Glory to God! Who needs wine when we have the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, I'm depressed, so I want to take 2 bottles so that I can get myself. Come on, there is something better. There's something better, my brother. There's something better, my sister. It can pursue depression in 1 minute. You don't know what to do, just break it to tongues. You will speak it to a time. It will rise in your spirit. Then joy will well from your inside. Hey! Joy will well from your inside. And you begin to scream and scream and scream and roar. As you laugh and dance to the Holy Ghost. It's better than every alcohol. It's a real thing, man. Some of you know the story is that we've delivered people who were at the point of suicide. They've been depressed. They are at the point of suicide. One of the cases I had to say, call the person. The person said, sir, I just picked this girl out of respect. Ready to go. I said, I'll let you die. But let's pass it something first. Let's pray the Holy Ghost. We said it on the phone. We prayed for like 20, 30 minutes. And I said, how do you feel now? He said, it's getting better. I said, now let's laugh. So I'm not in the mood. I said, it's not about mood. Glory to God. Singing and dancing and making melody in your heart. You know, Paul said, rejoice evermore. He didn't ask you for your mood. He said, rejoice.
Because rejoicing is not a function of your mood or your temperament. It's a work of the Holy Ghost on your inside. So we don't rejoice with our mood. I can laugh all the time. All the time, my accounts can be empty and I can still laugh. Because it's a work of the Holy Ghost. It's called joy. When we get to the fruit of the Spirit, you see, it's one of the fruits you reap when you sow to the Spirit. The joy of the Holy Ghost. And on the hospital bed, you can see me saying, hey, 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 hey. The joy of the Holy Ghost. Stand full of joy. 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 Hey! Glory! I'm full of joy. So don't party escapism. We don't take things to forget our sorrow. We don't want to forget sorrow. We want to deal with the sorrow. Because there are two different things. One will make you forget your sorrow and remember it later. The Holy Ghost doesn't tickle your fancy. It doesn't excite you. I taught you this. The comfort of the Spirit is not a pat in the back. The comfort of the Spirit deals with the issue. The way you comfort, you'll be comforted. You'll be comforted. You'll be comforted. Oh, thank God for the joy of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the joy of the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Spirit. I know this joy. I've seen this joy. Things can be going bad, but I'm still full of joy. Things can be going bad, but I still have a reason to laugh. Hey, hey, hey. My God. Jesus told them, he said, do not rejoice that demons are subject unto you. He said, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Do I have men here that their names are written in heaven? So, can we do some joy tonight? Can we do some joy tonight? Can we do some joy tonight? Hey! Glory! 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 Glory to God! We don't sow to the flesh. We sow to the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy in the Holy Ghost. My God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm full of joy. Ay, 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 ay. Rejoice evermore. Do you know, after rejoice evermore, the next verse said, pray without ceasing. In other words, the same way you pray, whether you feel like it or not. You know that's how you pray. That day you don't feel like praying, but you have to pray. That's the way you rejoice, whether you feel like it or not. Next time you wake up and the person woke up with you, just lie down there and we let out some laugh. He said, why are we laughing? Now give you an answer. Should I give you an answer? When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. He said, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Then said the heathens, the Lord has done great things for them. So I tell you what to do. When you lie on your bed and there's nothing exciting, think about salvation. Think about your righteousness in Christ. Think about your forgiveness in Him. And just laugh in the Holy Ghost. Think about that. Because our captivity has been torn. We've been delivered forever. This is better than any alcohol. It's better than any drug. It's better than any Indian hemp. It can get you high 24 hours. My God. You know the Bible talking about, he said, you know the Bible talking about the woman, I think the woman, he said she shall laugh when trouble comes. There are people that laugh when trouble comes. And I'm that kind of person. Because I have the Holy Ghost. Because I have the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, let me tell you something you're going to do. But I just tell you that we're going to do that now. Just think of three things that God has done for you in Christ. Wait. Do you remember three things? Don't say He gave you a car. It's not that I'm saying it. Think of your righteousness in Him. Think of the fact that your sins are forgiven eternally. Think of the fact that He has given you the Holy Ghost. Are you not thinking now? Now, I'm going to ask you to shout those things. Forget your neighbor. Shout this like, I'm righteous. I'm forgiven. have the Holy Ghost. God, that's how to let joy loose on your inside. So remember what he has done and shout it. Shout it. When you shout it once, it doesn't make sense. Shout it one more time. When you say, I'm righteous, say it again, I'm righteous. Say it again, my sins are forgiven. I've been delivered and I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I have the Holy Ghost. Hey, hey, hey. When you say that, you let joy loose. Hey, my God, my God, my God, there's anointing in this place, my God, my God, my God, hey, Mambarada Shatalabaya, Mantalabaya Talabarata, Eshapapapapatega Ratol Shatea. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost strong in this building. You know why? I've taught you this. One of the greatest, stretch that, the greatest atmosphere where the move of the Spirit is most easy is the atmosphere of joy. Just like the greatest place you find easy manifestation of demonic spirits is in sadness and depression. You see, when there is certain depression, it says for long, I can almost swear to you there's a demon already in that atmosphere. Because, you know, there are places, that's why, have you ever entered a hospital? And once you are entering, you can almost sense the presence of demonic spirits. Yes. You know why? When there is sadness, depression, and all of that, you make room for the devil to thrive. But where there is joy, the Holy Ghost thrives. Can I show you something now? How many of you want the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place? Are you ready now? Are you ready now? Are you ready now? Tebe Karande Sotaya. Are you ready now? Get set now. Everybody on this side, take it in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. On this side, are you guys ready now? Take it in the name of Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Take, 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 take. Mandala Bashataya, Mandala Bashataya. Mandala Bashani. Yeah. Oh yes. There's an anointing of joy in the house. It's so heavy now on some of you. There'll be uncontrollable laughter. There'll be uncontrollable shiftings. There'll be dance of the Spirit. Stirrings of the Holy Ghost. Stirrings of the Holy Ghost. Stirrings of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Oh, 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 oh.
Oh, baby, sorry. I want to
just did. We just yielded to the spirit of joy. The harvest is so strong in this place. Ay-ay-ay-ay. Don't hold it back. 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 Oh, ha 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 ha. The Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know, he said with joy. Isaiah 12 verse 3. He said with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. What it tells you, how we take from all that God has worked out for us is with joy. With joy we draw. With joy we look, we enjoy our righteousness. With joy we enjoy all that God has worked out for us. With joy. With joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yagabaratesha. Thank you, Lord. Besule timbre do shombre de candia. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Business people begin to run and to scream. Begin to run and to scream. Begin to run and to scream. Yes. For the Lord has given you speed on your feet. He has given you speed on your feet. He has given you speed on your feet. He has caused you to spread on the right and on the left. He has caused you to spread and on the left and on the right. He is causing you to run and to get mileage by the Spirit. He is causing you to get mileage by His Spirit. As you run and as you scream, you are getting mileage. You are getting mileage. You are getting mileage by God's Spirit. Baradabashandaya. You know what the Lord said to me now? He said, every time you shout, something is worked out. So I was asking him, what did he work out? He said, tell businessmen and women that they are gaining mileage by the Spirit. They are gaining mileage by the Spirit. As you scream and as you shout, there is spread. There is speed. There is mileage by the Spirit. And it will show forth. It will show forth. It will show forth. The Lord said, I should do this. I bring life to your business. I bring life to your business. I bring life to your endeavors. I bring life to your endeavors. In the name of Jesus. The Meka Shunatakaka Kukepe Katia Sulata Rebekimbo Bekika Diska Papaya Etrekabetika Babaratea. Lord is bringing that word again that He gave me last year. There are businesses here that will gain national relevance, international recognitions, motel businesses that will rise from here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And bekeman brodo shumbre de bebe kimbarataya. Especially some of you in the agricultural sector. There is something coming for you. This year shall be for increase in cattle. That's what I hear from the Lord. So if you are in the agricultural sector, crop or livestock or anything, there shall be increase in that area. If you are considering it, get into it already. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mabarakolada. Can you just pray in the Holy Ghost? My shield, you are my covering, you are my stability, my foundation, you are my shield, you are my covering, you are my stability. And my foundation, you brought me to the place you are. Yeah,
the secret place, that's where I live now.
Sing it again.
You brought me to the place, the place you are.
You led me to the rock
that is higher than I.
You took my hands.
You took my hands.
You took my hands.
You took my hands. You led me to the rock that is higher than I.
You took my hands.
You took my hands. You took my hands.
When you don't know the way of the way, how can you run when you don't know the way of the spirit? And how can you fly like eagle when you don't know the way, the power of walking you, changing and sleeping?
In obedience to Christ,
changing everything in obedience to
Christ. Just swallow your pride tonight. Come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know? It's the keys to eternal life. to the little hill and the little bird. Until the devil done, he's at work in you, changing
everything in obedience to Christ.
Changing everything,
changing everything,
yeah.
In obedience to Christ.
He's changing everything,
changing everything,
yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because our rejoicings are not empty. That's why it's always a better cure to every form of depression. They're not empty. Every time we rejoice and we shout like that, we give room to happenings in the spirit. And we engage angelic powers to get to work. Oh, you've forgotten how they shouted round Jericho and the wall sank. How they sang and they shouted and prayed in the prison and the prison doors opened. Our shouts are not ordinary. We don't make empty noise when we shout. Oh, no wonder the Bible says concerning us, he said the shout of the king is among them. Because those shouts are not ordinary. They work out things in and by the Spirit. So every time we yield to them, whether in meetings or in our rooms, woo, they open the door for manifestation and flows of the Spirit. Also, don't stop shouting, don't stop screaming, don't stop rejoicing. Let it out from your spirit. Even though your mind might be saying otherwise, your mind might be full of pain and bitterness and questions you don't have answers to. But let out joy and shouting from your spirit. He said, for as you do that, you make room for workings of the Spirit. For have you not heard, have you not known that spirits respond to sounds? Demons respond to sounds of pain and fears and depression. But God's Spirit and His angels, they respond to shouts of joy, of victory, and of faith. So every time you let out those shouts, you give room for manifestation, says the Lord. So don't hold down the shout. Don't hold down the laughter. Don't hold down the screams. You've got to let it out. Every time you do, something is worked out in the spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The shout of the king is among us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you thank God for His presence in this place tonight? I don't know how we got here, but we are here now. Thank you for His presence. Woo! I'm trying to get back to my notes, but the Holy Ghost said it's done. So just pray. Thank you. We'll pick up from there tomorrow. I didn't even do my teaching tonight. What we just yielded to the Spirit and everything opened up. Holy Ghost! I'm going to give you 10 minutes to yield to the Spirit however you want to. If you want to pray in tongues, pray. If you want to dance, you can just yield to the Holy Ghost. Whatever comes to your spirit, just yield to Him. Make sure you're not silent in this environment. Make sure you're not idle. Yield to the Spirit. That's what I heard in the Holy Ghost. And we're going to close from there. Just yield to the Holy Ghost. Some of you have to sing a song. Some of you might do a shout. Some of you might do a run. You have 10 minutes. Yield to the Holy Ghost. Just you to the Holy Ghost. Whether you are in your room or you are in your center, you to the Holy Ghost. You to the Holy Ghost. All you might do tonight might be a dance. Some of you might be a scream. It might be tongues. It might be prayers. It might be crying. It might be sobbing. Whatever that comes, just you to the Holy Ghost. Just you to the Holy Ghost. Just focus, yield to the Holy Ghost. Some of you, by the end of these 10 minutes, you are coming out with a song. Some of you are coming out with songs. Some of you are coming out with prophecies. Some of you with visions. Yield to the Holy Ghost in this place. Be flammable tonight. Be flammable tonight. Be flammable tonight. Just listen to the Spirit and I will do mine. Just focus. Just listen to the Spirit tonight. Just listen to the Spirit tonight. Yeah, just listen to the Spirit tonight. Thank you.
Just you to the Holy Ghost. Don't be mechanical about it. Just let him.
Visions in the house. Strong walls. There's a part I thought I would have gotten to in this teaching, but maybe I'll just pray it. You don't have to come out, but if you're a minister here and you're trusting God for fresh fire in your ministry for the year, please raise your hands. Fresh fire. You don't want to be stale. Ministry is done with fire, with vigor, with intensity. Woo! Kakebe katemba push kade kambia. Kande koko bede ne medole tambra di age keda. Ene bede bede bode bede bede bode bade andole va shita kaya. At the count of seven. At the count of seven. It's already coming. Every hand lifted up here with expectation. Thou power of God. In the name of Jesus. You baptize her with fire. Holy Ghost. Baptize everyone here at the count of seven. With fresh fire. At the count of seven. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Get set. Number six. Thou power of God. Number seven. Death. Yes, 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 yes. That's what I said. It's heading from that, from the right to the left. Look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. I'm not praying again. It's fresh fire, fresh enthusiasm. Take, 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 take. The spirit of prophecy is in the house tonight. The spirit of prophecy is in the house tonight. There are words by God's Spirit. There are words by God's Spirit. Is it you? Ben, come. Yes, you point. Ben, come. Woo. Ben. Let him come. Lift your hands. My God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost in the house today. Like I said, the Spirit of Prophets is in the house. There are words from God's Spirit. There are words from God's Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There shall be mighty workings of God in your ministry this year. Mighty workings of God. Woo! John, come. My God will give you a voice that you will speak the word. And the earth, men will hear. It's on you already. Take the spirit of prophecy in the house. Play that song. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel. Tonight is a clear sign of letting the Spirit do His thing. I wonder why you stuck to your notes. We'll pick up from there tomorrow. What an atmosphere tonight. That's what the cleric call utterance by the Spirit. God gives you words at different times and then He handles His meeting. Eyes have been opened tonight. There are three persons here that would have solid encounters with God's Spirit as they go to sleep tonight. So if you will come into visions and and all of that. Some of you, there is one of you that encounter will break a long-standing addiction in your life. It's going to happen.
We are not alone.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Say when we pray.
When we pray, he answers us. When we call, he has a voice. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Say when we pray.
When we pray.
Petitions for the year, ministry for the year. I thought it was going to be tonight, but God chose to come this way. So, ministry, you want to do ministry this year? I'll teach on a different, I'm going to pray. I don't know what I'm going to lay hands on you, but I'm going to speak words. But this year, your ministry will be marked with results. Remember what the Lord told us? Remember, you were young, you followed the cross of our service, so you were here. Every man a company. Do you remember that? Every man. God is going to give you a company of men. Jacob said, I left here. I crossed over Jordan with just my staff. He said, but I have returned two companies. So this year, you are coming with a company of men that God has given you. A company of men. A company of men. Some of you will have 50 in your company. Some of you 100 in your company. Some of you 1,000 in your company. By God's Spirit, I've written a number of men that I will record as my company this year. Men that will be saved by my hands and men that will be changed by my hands. Every man, the company. Some of you company of 50, companies of 60, some of you 100, some of you 300. So how many people are you returning with? Not just an excitable figure, but a figure that the Lord lights up your spirit that you're going to walk towards. That by the end of the year, you're going to say, I crossed over 2026 with just myself. But I'm ending this year with a company of 30. I can see the point. A company of 100 men and 50 men. That will be your story. I say, that will be your story. Thank you, Lord. Let's bless him for tonight. Lift your hands in this place. I have to close. I don't know. But I just sense I've done everything God's going to do tonight. Are you blessed tonight? Did you enjoy the atmosphere tonight? Hallelujah. Do you remember what I was preaching? What was I preaching? I was still talking about sowing to the flesh. And while I was reading Galatians 5:21, I was just laying foundation, trying to show you what the flesh works out. And the Spirit of God said, let me show you what the Spirit works out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Maybe if God felt we are talking about the flesh too much, what was this one? Let me show you guys a bit of the Spirit. Do you love the Holy Ghost? What a mighty touch of God's Spirit tonight. Let's just fill this place deliberately now with thanksgiving. Please lift your hands and thank Him. These are not ordinary things that we enjoy in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's so amazing. That the God who made the heavens,
great is your love for me.
Come on.
You load me with mercy in the morning.
Come on.
And goodness at night and in and out of seasons. I'm passing in your grace.
Come on, church.
Great is your love for me.
You load me with mercy.
You load me with mercy in the morning. And goodness at night time.
Yeah.
amazing.
It's so amazing.
That a voice, come on.
That a voice of all creation is the same that calls my name at every door.
You lit up my life.
You lit up my life with the beauty of your glory. For you alone, my Lord, I live.
So in your mighty works. Come on.
And gaze upon your mind. You can do more than my mind can comprehend. I've seen the layman walk. I've seen you do wonders. Your very love.
We do it three times.
More than lightning.
I've seen your mighty works.
I've seen your mighty and gaze upon your mouth. You can do more than my mind can comprehend. I've seen the layman walk. I've seen you do wonders.
Come on.
You're a very love. It's more than lightning.
I've seen your mighty works.
I've seen your mighty works. And gaze upon your mind. You can do more than my mind can comprehend. I've seen the layman walk. I've seen you do wonders.
Come on.
Your very love.
One last time now.
I've
seen your mighty words.
I've seen your mighty words. And gaze upon.
Come on.
You can do more than my mind can comprehend.
Yeah.
I've seen the layman walk. I've seen you do wonders.
Yes, yes.
Your very love is more than life itself.
So we sing
glory to Jesus.
Come on, lift your hands. God bless you. Service is 8 o'clock. What time? 8 o'clock tomorrow. It should be 8:30, but tomorrow, 8 o'clock, right? What is 8 o'clock? Be here. It should be 8:30. If you are in Enugu here, service time is 8:30, but tomorrow, right? It's going to be 8 o'clock. So be here. We're going to be so changed. So, what did you learn tonight? You want to share with your neighbor? Share with your neighbor. What blessed you tonight? You know, we can start another Holy Ghost meeting talking about your lamps tonight. come on. Yeah.
Giving us victory, glory to your name. Say you.
Stereotype meetings. Remember that?
Hallelujah. None of you expected this.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.